Brody picked up a pickle from the free lunch counter of his Bowery saloon. Steve glared with contempt at the handful of nickel beer drinkers that lined the bar.
Nobby, John L. Sullivan ain't got a lot of small-time grifters like this in his place. Why? Because John L.'s got a name. He's heavyweight champ. Now, we got to think of some way to get a little publicity for this emporium, Nobby.
And thus we begin another story by The Player, starring America's most versatile actor, Mr. Paul Frees. We'll be with you after a worthwhile message from your announcer. The Player, Mr. Paul Frees.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is The Player, welcoming you to our presentation of First Citizen of the Bowery. The sightseeing bus had turned into a street that was once proud and haughty, but now was broken and lined with derelicts. Rubbernecks from the sticks were getting a look at the Bowery.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is one of the most historical scenes in this great city. Steve Brody's famous saloon. Steve Brody, the daredevil who made the breathtaking leap from Brooklyn Bridge, was once the pride of this neighborhood. Yes, can't you just picture him now standing at that old bar there, with a pearl-gray derby tilted over one ear, a loud checkered suit, and pink-striped shirt, the kind Steve always wore.
Like I was telling you, Nobby, unless we figure out some way to get publicity for this joint, we may as well fold up.
Yeah, I know, Steve. If you was only a fighter like John L. Sullivan, you could get a little notoriety for yourself. That'll make folks come in and shake the hands of Steve Brody, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I could run John L. right off the block here. If only I could think of some way to bring in the customers.
Hello, Brody. I just thought I'd come in and see how the competition is faring. Not so good, I see. Well, you better come over to my joint. Diamond Jim Brady's there with a large party.
John L. Sullivan, champion boxer of the world and champion pub owner of the neighborhood, stood in the doorway and laughed.
Oh, Brody, you little fellas will never learn. Once a small fry, always a small fry.
Is that so, you big... Well, it's brains, not brawn, that counts. I'm working on a plan now to make me the biggest man in the Bowery. Don't forget about you, I'll be so famous.
Oh, really? Why don't you jump off Brooklyn Bridge, Brody? That'll give you a reputation. So long, Brody. I'll come over to the poorhouse to see you.
As John L. departed, a glint of divine enlightenment came into Steve's Irish eyes.
Hey, Nobby, did you hear what that big mug said? Jump off Brooklyn Bridge. He was kidding about it, but it ain't a bad idea. In fact, I'd like it very good.
Oh, sure, you're joking, Steve. You'd get killed if you tried it.
No, Nobby. I can hear the paper boys hollering now. Steve Brody, popular tavern owner, jumps off Brooklyn Bridge. Daredevil creates sensation.
You know, that's very funny, Steve. Hey, you're a card. A veritable card.
You'll see, Nobby. Steve Brody's place will be the most celebrated bar in New York town. Steve is going to perform the most breathtaking feat since Captain Webb went over Niagara Falls in a barrel. Steve Brody's going to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge.
Gallagher, the cop, looked up from his nickel beer. He'd been listening to the conversation.
Steve Brody, if I see you within a city block of the Brooklyn Bridge, I'll run you in. There'll be no monkey shines disturbing the peace of this neighborhood.
Steve had made up his mind, however. This daring feat would be just the solution to his business problem, and it would make that big bully Sullivan sit up and take notice. Steve ambled down toward the bridge. He began to feel funny. Warning voices seemed to tap him on the shoulder and say,
"Put a eye off that bridge, Steve, and dangerous, too.
Remember that fella Odlum, Steve?
Odlum tried to jump off Brooklyn Bridge at the grand opening in 85. Rather unfortunate, too. He broke every bone in his body. Yeah. Poor Odlum."
Steve arrived at the foot of the bridge. He loitered idly, surveying the structure, when a uniformed figure loomed up out of the shadow of the building.
Well, fancy seeing you here, Brody. Now, what brings you to the great Brooklyn Bridge?
What do you think, Gallagher? Hush. Going to Brooklyn. Is there a city ordinance against that?
No. And there's no city ordinance against me asking you either, Brody.
Hubert Malone. Pardon me, Gallagher. There's a customer of mine going across in his wagon. Hiya, Hubert. Give us a lift across, will you?
Sure. Hop on, Steve.
The old wagon rumbled onto the bridge. A 1 cent toll was in force. Steve showed his generous colors by flipping the collector a shining copper.
Allow me, Hubert. This is on me.
When the wagon reached the watchtower halfway across the bridge, Steve stepped from his seat beside the driver into the back end. Suddenly, he waved his derby madly and broke into a little Irish jig, tapping his feet a la Pat Rooney on the pine boards of the wagon.
The Bowery, the Bowery. They say such things and they do such things on the Bowery, the Bowery. I'll never go there anymore.
Hey, have you gone dippy, Steve?
Yeah, this is my big moment, Hubert. Next time I see you, I'll be getting the key to the city. You did me a service, and I'll take care of you. Then you won't be driving a lumber wagon all your life. Well, so long, Hubert.
Steve suddenly jumped from the wagon to the ground. He tore to the side of the bridge, yanked off his derby, and tossed it overboard. In a split second, he stripped off his shirt, topcoat, and jacket, and was down to his red flannels.
That's indecent, Steve. Put your clothes back on. Get back in this wagon.
You don't have to go swimming with your clothes on, do you, Hubert? One for the money, two for the show, three to make ready, and four to go. So long, Hubert!
And there he was, Steve Brody, arms overhead, 120 feet in the air, hanging like a monkey from a tree. He poised for a second to get his balance, and then all at once, like a gymnast on a bar, he swung back and forth in the breeze, red flannels flying in the wind.
Help, police! Man overboard! Man committing suicide! Help!
But Gallagher had sensed Steve's escapade and had taken the first trolley across the bridge. Hopping off the car, Policeman Gallagher collared the frightened Hubert.
What's the matter with you, you idiot? Where's Brody?
Well, what are you grabbing me for? There's your man.
Gallagher tossed the frightened chap aside and raced to the rail, but too late. Brody was already hurtling downward, straight as an arrow. Nobby the bartender, waiting in a tiny rowboat below, was seized in breathless panic. Steve's body crashed into the East River. Nobby couldn't see a sign of him.
Oh, poor Steve. He was a good fellow, all right. Guy to his mother and everybody, and he... Holy smoke, look at him! He's up and he's okay, too!
Steve's head popped out of the water, red-faced but smiling. He began to paddle around.
Hey, yeah, get in here, Steve boy. Right into the boat. Yeah, hold on to my hand. All right, here we go!
I done it. Didn't I, Nobby? I done it. I'm famous, Nobby. We're gonna have the best business on the Bowery. I done it, Nobby.
Quiet, gentlemen, quiet. I don't think I have to introduce myself to you. I'm John L. Sullivan, pugilist and friendly competitor of the illustrious Bowery citizen, whose popular establishment we're all gathered in tonight. I give you the greatest of all daredevils, our own Steve Brody.
Gee, thanks, John L. This is the proudest moment in the history of Steve Brody's place.
And indeed it was. Steve was riding on the crest of a wave. Take a chance, Steve Brody did, was the catchphrase of the hour. Customers by the droves had come from uptown, from out of town, from far and near, just to grasp the hand of Steve Brody and drink a toast to him in his own bar. Here was Steve Brody, first citizen of the Bowery. Yes, it was all too magnificent. Tears came into Steve's eyes.
Nobby, the bar's gonna be a gold mine. Yeah, Steve, but it's getting kind of late. 3 o'clock, Steve. Maybe we ought to call it a night, huh?
What's that? Oh, excuse me, Nobby. Here's Gallagher, the cop. I gotta go and greet him. Hello, Gallagher. Good to see you. Have a drink?
No drink, Steve.
Why not, Gallagher? Celebrate with me. Biggest people in town are here. All of John L.'s classy trade. Diamond Jim Brady, Commodore Vanderbilt, Mr. Astor.
Yes. I know, Steve, but... Well, I'm afraid they'll be back at John L.'s tomorrow night.
Hey. What's that, Gallagher? What are you talking about?
Well, Steve, I'm going to have to padlock this place. Take away your license.
Hey. You can't do that. After I risked my neck jumping off that bridge and got me all the business in town?
Well, you see, I'm afraid you made your jump for nothing, me boy. Even the great Steve Brody can't serve drinks after hours.
And that's another play by The Player, your one-man theater, Paul Frees, who portrays all of the parts. Mr. Frees will return after a short visit with your announcer.
Citizen of the Bowery was written by Ben Pearson and produced by Sam Kerner, with music composed and performed by Rami Idris. Special effects by Fred Cole. Your announcer was Gary Goodwin. Won't you join us again when we present another exciting story for your entertainment? This is The Player, Paul Frees, saying goodbye. Until next, we meet.